better never rest.
What's up? The Georgia Show. I'm Jake Roos. He's Jake Rowe. Welcome in on your Thursday morning. We appreciate you being here. And as always, the Georgia Show brought to you by American Pride Bank. Our friends, our partners, American Pride Bank. They want to be your friends and partners as well. Listen, when you contact American Pride Bank, you're talking to decision makers each and every time. They are the people on the ground in your hometown, Athens, Alpharetta, online. They want to get with you. They want to talk about small business loans. They want to talk about personal banking. They want to talk about all of your banking needs. You can get over to AmericanPride.bank to learn more. Again, that's AmericanPride.bank. Great friends, great partners, member FDIC, an equal opportunity lender. Guys, welcome in to this edition of the Georgia Show. And it's a packed one. We got a lot to get to as usual, Jake. It seems like it should be quiet here moving into May, but it's certainly not. Couple big things to get to today. Steve Wilfong with some interesante news on the recruiting front. We'll talk some draft in this one too, you know that. But we need to start off talking a little bit about this old Fong bomb.
And if you're wondering why we're late, this is part of the reason why. Steve kind of cut something loose right before we came on the air.
Yeah, absolutely. Jackson Cantwell, we'll go ahead and discuss, I guess, what's out in the public sphere regarding Cantwell. He has pushed his decision date forward and has added a trip to the University of Georgia prior to doing that. I believe May 13th, the new date for the decision, will visit Georgia May 10th. That, Jake Rowe, is hard to spin as anything other than positive for the Georgia Bulldogs, in my opinion. And I get the sense Steve Wilfong kind of agrees with that.
Yeah. You've seen it every different way it can possibly be done. It's like, it's like making spaghetti sauce. Like, I mean, there's a million different ways to do this. It's never probably been done exactly the same way in the same household twice. And, you know, with Nona's Sunday gravy, you know, like it's always a little something different.
Sure.
But typically when you get the last visit and it's right before the guy announces, you got to feel pretty good about that. And on top of that, you get a little bomb from Steve Wilfong.
Well, and I mean, not only are you getting the last visit right before the guy commits, but he amends his whole schedule to make you the last visit right before he commits, right? I mean, yeah. Like, to me, that's really what is the big takeaway from all of this, that he would change his whole schedule in order to work Georgia in one more time. Now, does this necessarily mean slam dunk? Of course not. It's NIL era, man. We don't deal in slam dunks in recruiting anymore. But does this bode well for Georgia? Yes. Could this be an incredible 2 weeks for Georgia? You get Jared Curtis in the fold and then maybe add a guy like Jackson Cantwell to go along with it. Woo-hoo. That's Antonio Banderas gif in real life, buddy.
Years back, I remember I was talking to a high school basketball coach and we were just kind of, you know, and he was talking about how, you know, we're just speaking to your dunking analogy.
Yeah.
There's dunking and slamming one off the back iron and it goes 100 feet in the air. And that's embarrassing. There's getting pinned on the rim. When you try to dunk now in the NIL era, it can happen like this story I heard recently about another high school basketball coach. One was telling me about it who, listen, he's a former player. He's like 6'6". He had his wedding band on. He went up to throw down a one-handed dunk. His wedding band got caught on the rim and snatched his finger off. That's what happens in this era of college football when you try to dunk and deal in slam dunks. You end up mortally wounded, basically. It's not a good idea to deal with that. So we're not saying that Jackson Cantwell is going to end up at Georgia, but I do want to say one thing. I have a theory here, and my theory is Georgia's never been out of it to begin with.
No, I would agree with that completely.
And there's so many people that wanted to say, no, they're done. Even based on Steve's reporting, with Steve telling you 100% that Georgia's in it, maybe trailing, maybe not. It's hard to speak in absolutes. Folks just wanted to say done. And most of those folks, Georgia fans, but plenty of others as well. who like to throw dirt on Georgia before it's time. They were never out of it. That's the thing. And so it doesn't come as a huge shock to me that Georgia's trending again.
And we need to mention, I think, because we have mentioned to the contrary several times, a big reason why Georgia is in it with Jackson Cantwell is their offensive line coach.
It is
Stacey Searles' thing. This is a big relationship with Stacey Searles that has forwarded this. It's also not going to hurt things that this weekend Georgia's going to put four offensive linemen into the NFL draft as well. I mean, there's a clear link between the development, the relationship with Stacey Searles, who looking good, man, out there in Hawaii, getting got the lay on and really enjoying his time. It looked like with Malachi Lee out there on the Big Island. But Searles is key in this. And anybody who says otherwise or pretends otherwise is kind of joking themselves. And oddly enough, it's one of those things, too, where not only, like, how poetic, Jake. Look, neither of us has gone to bat for Mike Bobo or Stacey Searles' performance and their units last year. However, Georgia right now, in it with Jared Curtis because of Mike Bobo. In it with Jackson Cantwell because of Stacey Searles.
Yeah.
That's how the game works, man.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys get paid for more than one thing. Now, obviously, the on-field results are what matter in the end. But obviously, those relationships still matter. There are guys who still believe in those guys as well. So, I mean, I think that that's big. But the Fong bomb in 60% confidence from Steve Wilt Fong, Jackson Cantwell to Georgia. And
if you want to look at those guys' careers real quick, there's no gaps in employment for a reason. Sure. They get hired because they do things well. And I'm one of these people, like, and I said this the other day, hey, man, good coaches sometimes do great jobs. Good coaches sometimes do bad jobs. And I don't think that either one of those coaches did their best job in 2024. And that's kind of what – but I did kind of get a chuckle at the idea – something kind of hit my head as you were saying that Stacey Searles is out in Hawaii. What if Kirby was like, hey, man, you locked up Jackson Cantwell. Just head on out to Hawaii. Have a good time.
give yourself a little something nice.
Get a little tax write-off. Go out there and get a free – no, they really like Malachi Lee without question. He is a very good football player.
Rusty told me that was the largest wingspan they'd ever measured.
Oh, is it?
I believe that is correct. Malachi Lee, one of the largest wingspans ever come through the building at Georgia. So
wow, unbelievable.
Yeah, freaky. Look, speaking of going out to Hawaii, you might go out there. You might need some shades. Well, get over to sunheist.com. Check them out. Code DOGSHQ20. Get you 20% off your first purchase at sunheist.com. If you're looking for light frames that are going to almost disappear on your face because you can't feel them, they're not going to weigh you down, they're going to be along for the ride all day, every day. That's what Sunheist brings to you. Injected polarization, so there's no delamination with it. They got the warranty on the frames. They got incredibly reasonable prices, especially if you use the 20% off discount code. You're going to get the case with it. You get the little sunglass necklace. You've got the stickers they throw in. They ship it to you quick. It's all done on the up and up. And Jake Rowe and I have talked about it several times, and I think we talked about it last show. I would wear this product if they did not sponsor our show. It really is quality. They are super involved in the community, a Georgia-based business, and they're giving back to the state of Georgia as well. So get over, check out sunheist.com, a number of ways to customize your sunglasses as well. I mean, unlimited almost customization with the lenses, with the frames, et cetera, get over, check it out, man. They've got all you need over there. Sunheist.com, code DOGSHQ20.
We got a draft tonight.
I know. It's hard to believe it's here, man. It's kind of crazy. It feels like kind of a quiet lead up to this one, Jake, in comparative to previous years. And I don't know why that is. I feel like maybe it's like, I don't know. Do you feel like this is kind of a down year in the draft overall?
Yeah, I do. I really do. It's listen, I think Abdul Carter's a really good player.
Yes.
But for, I don't know, man. I don't think of him when I think of this is the caliber player to be the number one overall player in the NFL.
What about Cam Ward?
Yeah, or can't. Yeah, I mean, listen, I think they're good.
Travis Hunter, I could make the argument for.
Yeah, totally, totally. Travis Hunter's a superstar. Hunter's incredible, and honestly, I've kind of fallen in love with him a little bit since the season. You know, the stuff he did with the Savannah Bananas, I saw was really good natured and fun. You know, and listen to a lot of people. He's an absolute animal of a football player, and I think he's worthy of that. But I just don't necessarily know. I feel like there's a lot of kind of 15 to 32 picks that are going to end up getting picked in the. And I say that with the Georgia players too, right? Sure. Like I look at Jalen Walker and I see a guy that I definitely think he's a first round talent, but I feel like there's a lot of drafts where Jalen Walker would go 17th or 20th, or Mykael Williams would go 15th or 25th, you know, somewhere there.
I have a hot take in this one, which is I think Malachi Starks is going to end up being the best Georgia player drafted in this draft.
Interesting.
I think that there's a very real chance of that. I think he has maybe the longevity. I think that his athleticism, jaw up, my man, to J. Reed Hodges. By the way, I want to shout out my man Ricky Bonds reached out to me on Twitter, and he said it's one of the highlights of my life to be getting these shout outs on the Georgia
show. We love you, Ricky. Thanks, man. I hadn't seen you back in the comments, so whatever.
Yeah. Brian Bivens has some questions. We'll definitely get to those for sure, Brian. Definitely want to talk about what you got going on over there. Listen, to me, Malachi is one of those guys that I think just slots in. He plays like 10, 12 years, no problem. Easy, you know, he might bounce around to a couple of teams. He's just not going to, like you said earlier, no gaps in employment for him. Mykael, to me, feels a little boom or bust. Personally, I could kind of see that one going.
I don't know. I see high floor there. I see high floor, longtime NFL player there.
I hope that that's the case. There are very few people who have preached the love for Mykael Williams since high school into college. But, you know, I don't know, man. He didn't maximize it at Georgia, unfortunately. We didn't see enough
not
of
from,
it.
Not from a production standpoint, but – I mean, here's the deal, man. You look at his career at Georgia, his three-year career at Georgia, he was more productive in a sack and tackle for a loss standpoint than Trayvon Walker was.
Yeah, yeah. That's
more
true.
Than
Trayvon's turned out to be a really good player.
Yeah, three-year career at Georgia, he was more productive from a talent tackle for loss and sack standpoint than Jalen Carter was.
What about then Jalen Walker? Do you feel he's boom or bust potentially?
I do a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, really.
There's a boom or bust thing with him because I don't have full confidence in him as an off-ball linebacker, an elite NFL off-ball linebacker. And if the pass rush thing does not work out, which he's as natural as Georgia has had this side of maybe Adam Anderson since he's been there, maybe DeAndre Walker.
I
think he's more natural than Aziz is.
Wow, okay.
I think Aziz eventually morphed into it and is probably a little more toolsy, but just moves, counter moves, the ability to get to the quarterback, the ability to finish on the quarterback. He almost never misses is a big thing. But at 6'1", there's, don't care how long you are, there are some things that are going to work against you at times. And you don't, without knowing the physical traits, the athleticism, it's hard. You know, it's like Von Miller. We knew Von Miller was an absolute, you know, bona fide freak. We knew that. I don't know that about Jalen Walker because I haven't seen a 4.440. I haven't seen a crazy vertical. So I don't really, it's tough to project that. So I do kind of see him as a guy with some bust potential.
Yeah. You know, the thing about him, I think that's going to I mean, he's a tremendous athlete. There's no doubt about that. But also, too, I mean, everything you hear, I read this yesterday. I think it was in Peter Schrager's mock draft was basically they were like, this guy has blown away every interview he's been in. Not at all. I mean, coach's son was amazing in high school, came to Georgia, did everything the right way. Leadership guy, just all the intangible traits. And see, that's the thing. I think that that's going to help him a great deal. Jalen Walker has the intangibles to go along with what can be elite athleticism. Yeah, he's a little soft. But I think, too, that we're seeing, Jake, a shift. I mean, Nolan Smith is doing quite well in the league. He's not a huge guy. I think that they're figuring out ways to utilize these body types more effectively, and they're becoming quite a commodity. And honestly, Jalen Walker probably, look, I'll tell you this. I think that if you're Jalen Walker, you come across 5 years ago, maybe 10, that you are talking about way, way lower in this draft.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's because of the way that this thing has shifted, I think he's coming along. He's the right man at the right time for the NFL.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure. I mean, before Jalen Walker, I mean, it was like Dwight Freeney and Robert Mathis and you know, this Elvis Doomerville. Like, you're talking about these guys that were really undersized, but they occasionally got a chance. And we're talking about three guys in a span of probably, 10 years. And then you're right, they have figured out a way to use them. But going back to the Nolan Smith example, like, I saw Nolan Smith run a 4.39 in the 40.
Sure.
And so that's what I know. I know that Nolan Smith is a great football player and runs a 4.39. So put those two things together, and I don't really have much concern over you being a great football player. Now, Jalen Walker, if he's a 4.55 guy or 4.5, sure, I feel, but not without knowing that. I don't have a ton of confidence in his ability as an off-ball linebacker to play it consistently. I think he can be a chess piece for you. But I don't think he's going to be Roquan Smith, Zach Thomas type. Just sit
Micah
back.
Micah Parsons.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Micah Parsons is kind of 101. I mean,
I agree.
And he hasn't been.
That goes back to my thing. He's the right man for the right time in this NFL. Everybody right now is searching for Micah Parsons, and this kid is. He has Micah Parsons-esque traits, is what I would say.
And the thing about Micah Parsons is I'm pretty sure Micah Parsons is like legit 6'3".
Yeah, sure.
He's not exactly a small guy either. That's the other thing you point to. I think just folks just see what he can do. But, I mean, he's a guy that honestly is kind of – I feel like he's tapered off just a little bit. Like, I mean, it's been pretty consistent, but you look at year one for Micah Parsons, it was 13 sacks. In 16 games. You look at year two, it's 13 and a half sacks. And so, this is nothing to sneeze at. These are fantastic seasons. But I think you saw what he was doing and you thought he was going to just keep doing it and doing it and doing it better and doing it better. And he's kind of leveled off, which is perfect. You'll take it every day.
Right.
But, and I don't know if that makes any sense.
No. I think that to some degree, this league boils down to, Jake, in a lot of times, adaptability. Right. Yeah. And so I'm not saying that they figured Micah Parsons out, but they're working on it.
Yeah.
And it's just like how Vic Beasley was. Vic Beasley came barnstorming into the league and absolutely tore the thing up. And by year three, he didn't have a move in the tool bag that could get him to the back, get it back to the quarterback.
Don't think Vic Beasley loved ball that much either.
No, that's true. That's true. But I'm just saying he wasn't still that dude.
I don't know how we turned this into a Micah Parsons thing, but I will say.
how about Georgia? They got some guys in the draft, don't they?
I will say, if you want to link those two together and you want to compare those two, Micah Parsons is constantly like commentating on the state of football in general, whether it's pro or whatever. I love that about him. You can tell that son of a gun cares about this game.
Absolutely.
He cares, and he is constantly giving his take on what goes on. And he's not doing so to be judgmental. He's doing so to care. And I don't know. That's a breath of fresh air.
I agree. It's cool to see that.
So, question. Will Georgia tie or break? They've got a chance. They've got 17
draft
eligible prospects, and it's hard to read them all off, honestly. I've got them listed
real quick.
I've got them listed in a story here real quick. I can probably run it down. Yeah, here we go. There's Jalen Walker, Mykael Williams, Malachi Starks, Jared Wilson, Tate Ratledge. That's five. Dylan Fairchild, Smile Mundon, Tyron Ingram, Dawkins, Trevor Etienne, and Nazir Stackhouse. If I can count, that's 10. And then Warren Brinson, Arian Smith, Dan Jackson, Ben Jurasik, Dominic Lovett. That makes 15. Xavier Truss and Chaz Chambliss makes 17. Can 15 of those guys get drafted and tie the record?
Oh, man. Here's the thing. What's insane is that's like kind of a good over-under number is 15.
It is.
That's a hard set. I would personally take the under.
I would too. I projected 14 in my
that makes
story
sense
I wrote this morning.
14 is probably the number I would most work with. Look, I don't think Truss will get drafted. I don't think Chaz Chambliss will get drafted. I could see one of the receivers going undrafted, Dominic or Arian.
I think, what if Chaz Chambliss gets drafted in Detroit just so Dan Campbell's got somebody to wrestle with?
I could see that. And Motivated Dedicated over here says Jurassic probably undrafted. That would shock me.
You know, he ran well at Pro Day, man. Like, I saw a couple scout watches that had him under 4.6. He's the one, this is so weird, he's the Georgia player I want to get drafted the most, and there's a reason for that.
Okay.
Georgia's got a streak of tight ends to get drafted, starting with Isaac Nauta in 2019. He could grow the list to 8, I believe, wow. 8 straight years, because it's 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. Okay, no, sorry, it would be 7. It would grow it to 7. But it started with Nauta, and then in 20, it was Charlie Warner. 21, it was Trey McKitty. 22, it was John Fitzpatrick. 23, it was Darnell Washington. 24 is Brock Bowers. Yeah. So I'm proud of myself. Yeah, let's move on.
No, I would agree. I think that would be good. That would be cool for him. I don't know that it'll happen. Somebody might see a good blocker. And like you said, he did run well. I do think Dan Jackson gets drafted. I think that his pro day. Yeah, I think he's got the production. And I think that, you know, I mean, you turn the tape on and then you pair that with what he put at Pro Day. I think that he's kind of a no-brainer. Dan Jackson will make somebody a very, very happy.
I really want Dan Jackson, Arian Smith, and Chaz Chambliss to all get drafted, because then we just get, you know, three guys that Georgia fans love to hate. Getting picked there. But listen, I want to do this about Arian Smith one more time. I've done it many times in writing. I've done it before on the show. And I just want to say this one last time, and I'll quit with it. Arian Smith spent 5 years at Georgia, and he dropped a lot of passes. I totally get it. But you know what Arian Smith never did? He never bitched and moaned on Twitter about anything about playing time. His playing time got cut several times while he was
at Georgia. By all indications, I never heard anything about him considering a transfer.
No transfer portal rumors, no social media snafus,
no speeding tickets.
Yeah, no speeding tickets. Caught one of the biggest passes in Georgia history. And listen, for Uncle Bob, that's an Ohio State fan, that says, oh, well, our guy just fell down. Your guy fell down because he was in a fight. He was sounding alarms because Arian Smith was on top of his feet. He was getting blown cooked. By. Yeah, cooked. He was cooked. He just fell in the blender. Is all he did. He knew he was going into the grease, so he just jumped right in. and not only that, as many passes as he dropped this year, and God, guys, I know he dropped 10 or 11 probably. Man, it seemed like in the second half of every big game Georgia won, he came up with something. Against Texas in the SEC championship game, it was the fake punt. Against Texas the first time, it was a big third down catch. Florida, big third down catch. He found a way to help the team, and he did it the right way, and he represented Georgia extremely well. And not only that, he won an SEC title for Georgia in track and field. He's a two-time national champion. I hope that Georgia fans will, now that you don't get to yell at him for dropping passes for your team anymore, which I understand those knee-jerk reactions. Sometimes I was like, God, kid, come on, like, you know, help me out. I'm trying to wear your flag over here and you won't let me do it.
Sure.
I hope that now that he moves on to the NFL, everybody will get 100% behind him and be proud of him, because I know he's going to make people proud. And I really do feel confident he'll get drafted. John Gruden brought it up. You know, John Gruden had a little breakdown of him where he talked about how Arian is so good at separating. And if you look at the numbers, this guy caught 67% of his targets last year. There was a 67% completion percentage when you threw the ball at Arian Smith, and that's with 10 drops.
Yeah.
So, you know, 10, 11, 12 drops. So that tells you how often he got open. I don't think the book is written on him as a receiver yet, but even if it is, I mean, you see Matthew Slater, you see DJ Shark, you see all of these guys who are really good special teams players in the NFL, and they stick around for a long time. It'd be really cool if Arian Smith made 10 or 11, maybe even $15, $20 million at that level because he's a great special teamer.
Absolutely. Brian Bivens says, where do you guys think Starks will go and Walker? Listen, I think Walker, I haven't seen anything in a while that has him under the top, out of the top 10. Everything.
Todd McShay even said he could see him go 5, 6, or 7 and not even, or what is it, 4, 5, and 7 and not even be there for Carolina, which is the very popular pick.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. That would be huge. Starks, I think, will be end of the round. Everything I've seen.
Three different spots I've seen for him. Popular, the Dolphins at 20, which is the highest I've seen him go. 26 to the Rams and 27 to the Ravens.
Man, I could see him as a Raven.
You know, somewhere else would be really cool to see him. Kansas City.
I agree.
They haven't really had that, that third level menacing. They haven't had that safety play that so many elite teams do. And I wonder if Starks could kind of be that guy for him.
Yeah, I can see that. I can just see him, though, rocking that Ravens uni, man, back there, like, patrolling it like Ed Reed used to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very nice.
I used to love the Ravens when my man Mike McDonald was there. I don't really love him anymore. I love Lamar Jackson, though, so I guess that kind of balances out. But the Ravens did my Broncos bad in the playoffs. That last Ray Lewis, Joe Flacco Super Bowl run, I feel like that was rigged. That was absolutely rigged. That was a script that was written, and the officials screwed Peyton Manning and the Broncos.
Here's an interesting question for you. Which dog would you most like to see your team, the Denver Broncos, draft?
That's a good question. If I'm going on need, Malachi would be a good pick. But I would probably say I would also like Jared Wilson.
Oh, yeah, good. Everybody can use a Jared Wilson, man.
Yeah, I mean, I like Jared Wilson a lot.
I could see the Falcons. I'd love to see that for them in the second round.
Yeah. And honestly, I think there's a chance there.
I did too.
The number 46 overall pick there in the second round.
They need a future center.
Yeah, that would be cool. That would be real cool. Might help Georgia get P.J. Dean too.
Yeah, sure. Now, I'm intrigued. Do you think that there's a chance somebody sneaks in and they get a fourth possible?
No, I just don't see it. I don't see.
Let me ask you this. Do you think it's more likely Georgia gets 2 in the first round or 4 in the first round?
I'd have to say 2 because I think there's 0 chance of 4.
Okay.
I mean, there's maybe like a 5% chance of 2, but 0 of 4. Jared Wilson's the only guy I could see slipping up there.
I agree. I'm with you on that. I mean, maybe somebody.
I love what Tate Ratledge did at the combine. You know,
that's what I was going to say. Maybe somebody could fall in love with Tate Ratledge and somebody trade up for like 32, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I doubt it, though. I agree.
If you're looking at a team that you're looking like, let's say you're the Texans, right? And the Texans need O line help. And they like two guys. They get Tyler Booker, or not Tyler Booker is a bad example because he's a guard, but the kid from Ohio. Kelvin Banks. Let's say they take a tackle and they're like, you know what? We really like Tate Ratledge, but we don't know if he's going to be there when we pick again. Maybe they trade up with the Chiefs or with the Eagles. And grab him, but I think that this is highly unlikely.
No, I agree. I'll tell you, the player I'm most interested to watch for Georgia is Smile Monday. I really want to see where.
Smile and I agree Monday with is. Your take on this. You can go ahead and say it, but I've already read it. You know, you put it on the board.
Well, it's going to where Smile Monday lands in this draft is going to tell you all you need to know about Smile Monday's medical.
Yeah.
If Smile Munden's medicals are good, I think he's probably a second round pick. Third at worst.
Yeah.
I think if he slips beyond the third, then people have legitimate.
You know what's crazy about Smile is,
does this not feel to you a little bit like N'Kobe Dean?
Nah, not really, because N'Kobe felt undeniable. You know, like he didn't work out, which was, you know, did Smile run the 40?
I don't think so.
At the combine? Okay. I
can't remember.
N'Kobe didn't really work out, and he was a little undersized. I mean, dude, I look back at 2022, and I'm not saying Smile didn't get any better because we saw flashes.
Yeah, no, Smile ran a 4.58.
Okay. Because we saw flashes from Smile, okay? after the 2022 season. But man, when he got hurt in 2022, I believe he was out for like the Vanderbilt and the Auburn games. When he came back from that injury, there was from there through TCU, probably 7 or 8 games, was as high a level linebacker play as we've seen at Georgia, except for maybe Roquan Smith. I would put it in the same vein. Listen, I think N'Kobe was a great player. Georgia is very likely never to have a linebacker that have a 2017 season like Roquan had ever again. That was the most dominant middle linebacker season I've ever seen in a Georgia uniform, and one of the best in the history of Georgia football. So I'm not going to put anybody up there. But I mean, Roquan Smith is to me what Lawrence Taylor is to Bill Belichick. Okay, like we're talking about Roquan Smith here. Okay, just calm down. But I do think that Smile Mundon at the end of that, the second half of that 2022 season, as a sophomore, and I had such high hopes for him, that foot injury just kind of derailed it. Was as high level as I've ever seen. And if that navicular fracture or whatever deal is done, then maybe that's the way it all works out for him. But I think somebody's going to get a good deal with him. I had him getting picked in the fourth round because I do think the medicals will scare some people off.
Yeah, I can see it. Very intrigued by Smile, though.
Yeah,
could be totally a high upside guy in the whole thing. Guys, look, draft is here. We got full coverage of it over on Dogs HQ. You can come join us over at the Dog Walk to talk all about it. And you can talk about the transfer portal, which is kind of, it feels winding down for these Georgia Bulldogs, Jake Rowe.
48 hours.
Yeah. What do you, what's your pulse on this thing as we wind down the transfer portal?
Still watching Roderick Robinson and waiting for a surprise exit.
What did you think about that tweet his dad put out?
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't sound like a guy that's considering getting out of town.
I thought so too.
And I told you on last show, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me because either Roderick's going to hit the reset button and go somewhere where he's got a lot to learn, or he's going to sit there where he's got an advantage, where he's where he doesn't have any new terminology to worry about. I'm talking about down to the, you know, losing credits type thing. Like, you know, you stay where you're at. It's probably a better, if this was December, maybe I understand. But yeah, so I'm looking for that. And then, I mean, I think Georgia could add. That's not going to happen here in the next – probably may not happen here in the next couple of days, and it doesn't have to. But, you know, Rusty brought up on Dogs HQ Plus, you know, a few days ago, there was a defensive lineman, you know, and I went to Troy Pike out of Georgia Southern. Southern. He is considering Ohio State and a bunch of others. Like, if Georgia could add him, they have had him on campus. I think they would if they could. But I think for the most part, it's over. You know, I'll go ahead and say this too. Cedric Smith, I think Georgia would offer him kind of a preferred walk-on opportunity with a chance.
You said that the other day.
With NIL. Yeah.
Yeah.
Under the right circumstances, they would take him as well. But I don't think they're lunging or stretching themselves to make it happen for anybody in there right now.
Not to steal your thunder, because I imagine that you will probably do an article related to this, but how would you – let's just say Georgia holds pat as is. This is all that we – all she wrote. How do you grade this for Georgia?
Are we re-including December as well, just the whole transfer portal haul?
No, spring window only.
Spring window. I mean, I think it's an A-.
Okay.
You know, I would have put it at A. You know, I think Bo Atkinson could have pushed it to an A+. I know why Bo Atkinson didn't end up at Georgia, and I don't think it has a thing to do with money. Bo Atkinson comes to Georgia, he's going to probably play 30 snaps a game, maybe 25. Probably going to see a downtick in production because of, you know, just kind of the way Georgia does it and has many players as Georgia plays. And that's not going to look great for him going from a sophomore season where he may be better, but, you know, listen, Georgia's got all the things in the world to sell. From what I understand, money was not an issue. And, you know, Georgia's about to have a second DN/edge player going the, you know, make it go in the first round and maybe the top 10 in the past 3 or 4 years. So they had all of that to sell. But ultimately, I think you pick Ohio State because they've got a track record of putting the same 3 or 4 DNs out there every snap of the game. And it's, and you're going to run up a snap count of 35, 40 snaps. It's going to allow you to put up 15, 20 tackles for a loss. And you're going to be able to, you know, have a chance at double digit sacks. And that's you're a little bit against it at Georgia, again, with the number of people that Georgia plays. And for a transfer, that doesn't, I can see why that is an issue. We've seen guys go out for that issue. Right. They're not going to change it for anybody because it works. It just works.
Yeah, no, it makes sense to me. I think that I would probably maybe have liked another quarterback just for depth purposes. That could have made some sense. But yeah, I think
Garrett Bachmeier still out there.
Yeah, okay, it could still happen. So the A range feels good for me. I mean, you addressed your biggest need, which was edge, with one of the top players at the position.
I would go as far as to say, from talking with him and having a long conversation with him, Elo Madozi, mm-hmm. just in case you want to know, it is Elo, not Elo. And you know, we do have to get some Electric Light Orchestra stuff up in here because it's awesome. I don't sing too much of that. They might copyright it. You sound just like them. After talking with him, I think I'm comfortable saying I think he was Georgia's top target out of the transfer portal. I really do. I you know, just kind of the, just knowing the way that all shook out. I think that's what Georgia wanted and needed more than anything else, was that true outside backer edge type. They lost Damon Wilson, and I think they wanted to get a Damon Wilson like talent back in there. I also learned that he's not, you know, he's a true sophomore. I'm sorry. He's a true junior, rising true junior. But he's 3 years removed from the high school ranks because he had to spend one season at the Army Preparatory Academy where you get ready to become a cadet. And during that, you basically practice and learn the offense. And I think you may practice, be a practice squad type player, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. But if you haven't read that story, listen, it's extremely well written. It's one of the greatest stories ever written.
You'll cry.
Nobody has complimented me on it, and I'm pretty pissed about it. I'm pretty pissed about it.
It's a great story. I enjoyed it. My takeaway from it, Jake, was that you're going to have a hard time keeping Elo Madozi away from leadership on this Georgia team, despite the fact that he's a transfer. I think that he's a guy that's wired for it. He sounds like he's going to be vocal. I mean, and that doesn't really shock me coming where he's come from. I mean,
yeah, that quote on, you know, kind of how Army will always stick with him. When he says, you know, I felt attacked every day.
That sounds like me. I understand that deeply.
I'm going to go ahead and say that his attacks were probably a little more calculated and strenuous than what you and I face. I mean, you're a unmarried man with no children, so I'm not gonna follow. I'm not gonna
get a lot of haters.
I'm not gonna. I can't. It's just so bad.
Here's the thing, though. Somebody made the point on the board, and I agree with this totally. Can you imagine if you get out there and you're like, this sucks, or this isn't good, or we're not getting what we're, and this guy's gonna be standing there and being like, look. This is Army. This is what we did at Army. Like, I'm sure that the facilities are very nice, and I'm sure that it's all very nice. It's the United States Army. They're taking care of these guys, right? They want them to be successful. However, the West Point is not built to be a mecca of football, first and foremost. Georgia is constructed. Georgia is a palace built around a football team.
Yeah.
And so when those guys are out there, and I just think that if there is some complaining, I think that guy's going to be pretty quick to shut it down because he's going to have seen it from a different angle.
I'm not saying that Georgia is built this way, but it's not a – West Point is not like a, hey, we'll all comers, you come to us and we will give you what you need. It's not like that. I mean, it's built to weed out the people who can't handle it.
Yeah,
the Shane Gillises of the world, if you might. Sure. So you know you can't, and I love Shane Gillis, by the way, but you can't ignore that fact. And he said that they're really good at making you feel uncomfortable at all times, you know, and kind of helping you grow in that way. I was blown away with his maturity, and you're right. I mean, he's one of those guys. He's one of those rare guys where he's not a culture fit. He's a guy that can make your culture better.
Right.
He can improve your culture. And I honestly, Jake, I don't think that there are maybe 10 total guys, either portal window. And I don't think there are very many at all at the high school level because they're so young that have that ability to say, hey, we're going to bring this guy in and our culture is going to be better because of it. And he's one of those guys. And I think Georgia would be very, very lucky and would love to have him for 2 years to play on that football team and be a part of it. Because I think that whether he puts up big numbers or not, I think they're going to get good, solid production. I think he's going to take the coaching extremely well. And listen, he's a kid that if you go and you read his story, there's a lot of courage involved in there. There's a lot of advocating for himself, speaking up for himself, and going after what he wanted. And I respect the hell out of that. Absolutely. I really do.
Absolutely. Guys, look, get over, check out Jake Rowe's story, Dogs HQ. We will be back with you on Sunday night to talk about the ramifications of this draft and what it means for Georgia. Could it be a record breaker? Could it be a tie for the record? Or will they maybe fall a bit short?
What if all 17 guys get drafted?
Wouldn't that be insane?
That'd be nuts.
But you can get over, check it all out. We'll have all the action for you at Dogs HQ. We'll be back with you on Sunday with another edition of the Georgia Show to recap all of the draft. Shout out to our friends at American Pride Bank. Shout out to our friends at Sun Heist. And shout out especially to my haters. Jaw up from our man, Ricky Bonds. We will catch you on Sunday. Have a great week. Rest of your weekend.